Genesis chapter 1, the first book of the Bible, the first chapter of that book. And we'll be reading through chapter 2, verse 3. Genesis 1, verse 1, what we hear now is God's Word. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. The earth was without form and void, and darkness was over the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God was hovering over the face of the waters. And God said, "Let there be light," and there was light. And God saw that the light was good. And God separated the light from the darkness. God called the light day, and the darkness he called night. And there was evening, and there was morning, the first day. And God said, "Let there be an expanse in the midst of the waters, and let it separate the waters from the waters." And God made the expanse and separated the waters that were under the expanse from the waters that were above the expanse. And it was so. And God called the expanse heaven. And there was evening and there was morning the second day. And God said, "Let the waters under the heavens be gathered together into one place, and let the dry land appear." And it was so. God called the dry land earth, and the waters that were gathered together he called seas. And God saw that it was good. And God said, "Let the earth sprout vegetation, plants yielding seed, and fruit trees bearing fruit in which is their seed, each according to its kind on the earth." And it was so. The earth brought forth vegetation, plants yielding seed according to their own kinds, and trees bearing fruit in which is their seed, each according to its kind. And God saw that it was good. And there was evening and there was morning the third day. And God said, "Let there be lights in the expanse of the heavens to separate the day from the night. And let them be for signs and for seasons and for days and years. And let them be lights in the expanse of the heavens to give light upon the earth." And it was so. And God made the two great lights, the greater light to rule the day and the lesser light to rule the night and the stars. And God set them in the expanse of the heavens to give light on the earth, to rule over the day and over the night, and to separate the light from the darkness. And God saw that it was good. And there was evening and there was morning, the fourth day. And God said, "Let the waters swarm with swarms of living creatures, and let birds fly above the earth across the expanse of the heavens." So God created the great sea creatures and every living creature that moves, with which the waters swarm according to their kinds, and every winged bird according to its kind. And God saw that it was good. And God blessed them, saying, "Be fruitful and multiply and fill the waters in the seas. Let the birds multiply on the earth." And there was evening and there was morning, the fifth day. And God said, "Let the earth bring forth living creatures according to their kinds, livestock and creeping things and beasts of the earth according to their kinds." And it was so. And God made the beasts of the earth according to their kinds and the livestock according to their kinds and everything that creeps on the ground according to its kind. And God saw that it was good. Then God said, "Let us make man in our image after our likeness. And let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the birds of the heavens, and over the livestock, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth." So God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him. Male and female, he created them. And God blessed them. And God said to them, "Be fruitful and multiply and fill the earth and subdue it and have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the birds of the heavens and over every living thing that moves on the earth." And God said, "Behold, I have given you every plant yielding seed that is on the face of all the earth, and every tree with seed in its fruit. You shall have them for food. And to every beast of the earth, and to every bird of the heavens, and to everything that creeps on the earth, everything that has the breath of life, I have given every green plant for food." And it was so. And God saw everything that he had made, and behold, it was very good. And there was evening, and there was morning, the sixth day. Thus the heavens and the earth were finished, and all the hosts of them. And on the seventh day, God finished his work that he had done. And he rested on the seventh day from all his work that he had done. So God blessed the seventh day and made it holy, because on it God rested from all his work that he had done in creation. Here we end the reading of God's holy word. I invite you to turn to the back of your Psalter hymnals to page 74 in the back section. This is the Belgic Confession of Faith, and this morning I will read from the bottom of page 74 and top of 75, Article 12. Article 12, which is entitled, "The Creation of All Things, Especially the Angels." We believe that the Father, by the Word, that is, by His Son, has created of nothing the heaven, the earth, and all creatures, when it seemed good unto Him, giving unto every creature its being, shape, form, and several offices to serve its Creator. That He also still upholds and governs them by His eternal providence and infinite power for the service of mankind, to the end that man may serve his God. He also created the angels good, to be His messengers and to serve His elect, some of whom are fallen from that excellency in which God created them into everlasting perdition. And others have by the grace of God remained steadfast and continued in their first state. The devils and evil spirits are so depraved that they are enemies of God and every good thing, to the utmost of their power as murderers watching to ruin the church and every member thereof, and by their wicked stratagems to destroy all, and are therefore by their own wickedness adjudged to eternal damnation, daily expecting their horrible torments. Therefore we reject and abhor the error of the Sadducees, who deny the existence of spirits and angels, and also that of the Manichees, who assert that the devils have their origin of themselves, and that they are wicked of their own nature, without having been corrupted. This is our confession of faith. Well, this morning, we go back to the beginning. Not to the beginning of the Belgic Confession, we've been studying that for some time now, but back to the beginning of time. Back to the story of creation. I find it interesting as we read through Belgic Confession, Article 12. The confession demonstrates that it is a product of its time. I'm struck by what is included in the confession, and I'm struck by what is not included in the confession. As we read through Article 12 about the creation of all things and of angels, I think if we were writing the confession today, we probably wouldn't spend so much time on that second half, on the angels part. But that seems to be the focus of Article 12. I think if we were writing the confession today, we'd probably spend a lot more time talking about the first half, about creation, about the way in which God chose to create, about the length of time it took God to create. What means did He use to create? That would be our focus today. We will look at both halves of Article 12, Lord willing, next Sunday on the second half about angels, and this Sunday focusing on the creation of the world around us. If we would read other stories from other religions and other backgrounds about how the world began, many religions have a mythological history of how things all began, often dealing with with wars between gods, a great god and a lesser god, sometimes the god of the earth battling the god of the sea and overcoming, and then creation coming forth from that. There have been many theories about what is the stuff of creation, what is creation made of. If you go back to the Greeks and you read Thales, he talks about water as being that substance from which all things came. Heraclitus says it's fire that is the initial starting point of everything. Anaxagoras talks about seeds of God, and Anaximander says infinite and indefinite substance is what everything came from. Many of these mythological traditions fall into one of two categories. Either there is an approach toward understanding creation rooted in dualism, this idea of two warring factions, one finally dominating over the other, or the idea of emanation, that there is this God thing, this God creature, from whom all creation comes, and it is actually a part of God. He sends off part of himself. That's where we get the idea of pantheism, that everything around this is God, because God emanated himself somehow down, and we see that around us. Now, obviously, more recently, in the last 100 years or so, probably the predominant theory in the world about where everything came from would be evolution, that things naturally evolved, selection, natural selection, survival of the fittest, and things came about that way. This morning, we're not going to talk about dualism, about emanation, about evolution. We're going to simply look at Genesis 1, the story described for us in the Word of God. It's too bad. It's too bad that there is so much controversy about how creation came about. It's too bad that we often spend so much time trying to understand things that truly are beyond us, God creating everything. And we get so caught up in the controversy that we miss the simple beauty of the story. God's glory in creation. Creation bears witness. It testifies to the majesty, to the glory of God. Now, there are times for good theological, exegetical debate about how we understand the nature of Genesis chapter 1 and the chapters that follow. But this morning is not that time. There are other times we can have those discussions. This morning is a time for us to drink in this beautiful story. A story many of us have heard time and time again from the time we were little children about how God created everything. And to reflect once again upon the glory, upon the majesty, upon the power of our God. We see, first of all, that creation is a divine activity. In the beginning, Genesis says, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And the word used for God there is that general word used for God, God the powerful God, God the almighty God. We might say God the Father God. We've talked elsewhere in our study of the Confessions of Scripture of how when we talk about creation, who is primarily responsible, we're talking about the Father as the primary actor, director, orchestrator in creation. God the Father speaks the Word and the world comes into being. God the Father speaks the Word. I hope that in your Bibles next to Genesis 1 you have a little note that says, see John 1. Because our confession reminds us, we believe that the Father, by the Word, that is, by His Son, has created of nothing the heaven, the earth, and all creatures. We turn over to the Gospel of John, 1 verse 1, and we read that reflection of Genesis, in the beginning was the Word, And the Word was with God, and the Word was God. John's talking about Jesus, children, the Word. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through Him. And without Him was not anything made that has been made. In Him was life, and that life was the light of men. In the beginning was the Word was with God, the Word was God. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. God spoke the Word, that is the means through which creation came about. God the Father was active, God the Son was active. And God the Holy Spirit is active. We talked about that last week. Where's the first place we read about the Spirit in the Bible? Genesis 1 verse 2. The earth was without form and void, and darkness was over the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God was hovering over the face of the waters. Creation is a divine activity. God Himself, in His Trinitarian nature, is involved in creation. The Father as orchestrator, the Son as instrument, the Spirit as power giver. Creation is not something outside of God, something that happens without Him. But it is something in which He is intimately involved. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And as we read through Genesis 1, we see the unfolding of this creation account in the most beautiful way. That God created in a definite manner. There was order, there was structure. Now, this struck me again. I don't know how many times I've read Genesis 1, but it struck me again as I was working with this text this past week. Maybe you've had this strike you many times earlier. But the order in which God creates things and the wisdom that that demonstrates. Can you imagine, children, if the very first thing God made was a cat? What if that was the very first thing God made? A cat. Well, what would the cat eat? If God hadn't made food yet. Where would the cat live? Where would he play? If the first thing God made was a cat, there'd be no place to put him. But God has order. God has structure. God creates in a very deliberate manner. Verse 3, and God said, "Let there be light," and there was light. What's the first thing you have to do when you walk into a dark room? The first thing you do is you turn the light on. It just makes sense. And that's how God begins creation. There was darkness over the face of the deep, and God says, "Let's put the light on." It just makes sense. It's ordered. It's deliberate. And God saw the light was good. God separates the light from the darkness. And He calls them day and night. So we have God, first of all, putting the light on, showing what's around in creation. And then God continues His very deliberate, orderly work. And God said, "Let there be an expanse in the midst of the waters." We read about these waters that are there. And God says, "Let there be an expanse in the midst of the waters to separate the waters." The waters above the expanse, the waters under the expanse, God creates space. He creates place on the earth. Not just miscellaneous waters, chaotic waters, but waters above now and waters below now, and this space in between that He will fill. God's wisdom, God's order, God's structure. He opens up the space. And then He says, verse 9, "Let the waters under the heavens be gathered together into one place, and let dry land appear." And it was so, and God called the land earth. It's so orderly, it's so reasonable, it's so wonderfully structured. It demonstrates God's wisdom. He's got this space now to fill, but there are still these waters below, and so God moves the waters, He gathers the waters, and the land is there now. And God will continue that deliberate, ordered, structured work, having created a space, having brought forth the land from the waters. He will now fill the space. It just makes such beautiful sense. It demonstrates God's wisdom in this creation process. The land is there, and then in verse 11, God says, "Let the earth sprout vegetation, plants yielding seed, fruit trees bearing fruit according to their kinds on the earth." And God has the vegetation come up. Before any animals are made that need the vegetation, God brings the vegetation. Orderly, structured, reflecting His glory and His wisdom. And now he has this expanse of the sky. He's dealt somewhat with the earth below, and now the expanse of the sky, verse 14, "Let there be lights in the expanse of the heavens to separate the day from the night. Let them be signs for seasons, for days, for years." And God makes the sun, and God makes the moon, and God makes the stars to fill this glorious expanse above. Orderly, structured, deliberate, wise. What a glorious God. He creates a space and He fills that space. God goes on to continue His work of filling space in verse 20. And God said, "Let the waters swarm with swarms of living creatures. Let the birds fly above the earth across the expanse of the heavens." So now creatures to fill the space. Not inanimate objects, not the sun, moon, and stars, but creatures. And God has the waters swarm with these living creatures. The fish now are there living in the water, and the birds in the sky. Orderly, structured. A revelation of God's plan and of His glory. The creation is not a chaotic event. But God works deliberately, step by step by step. And in verse 24, "Let the earth bring forth living creatures." So He's filled the waters, He's filled the expanse, now the land. He's got the grass there, the plants growing, now the land. "Let the earth bring forth living creatures according to their kinds. Livestock, creeping things, the beasts of the earth according to their kinds." And God made all these things, and God saw that it was good. Don't miss the beauty. Don't miss the structure. Don't miss the wisdom of a glorious God who takes this thing that is formless and void, this thing that is dark and that is wet, and that God makes structure, order, light, land, and creatures to fill it. And then we read, verse 26, "And God said, let us make man in our image." God has created so many things by this point. God has structured creation. He has structured the world that He made. He has put all kinds of plants and animals and birds and fish, but none of those, for none of those does He say, "These are created in My image." It is not until He makes man. "Let us make man in our image, after our likeness." Man is this unique creation of God, unlike anything that came before, unlike anything else out there. The birds are not in the image of God, the fish are not in the image of God, the animals are not in the image of God. This unique creation. What a beautiful picture. In all of creation, only one gets the title image bearer of God. "Let us make man in our image, after our likeness." Man is the crown of God's creation. Man is the pinnacle of what He has made. So God created man in His own image. In the image of God, He created him, male and female. He created them. If you are looking for self-esteem in your life, if you're looking for something to encourage you, read Genesis chapter 1. You are created unlike anything else out there. You are created in the image of this glorious, majestic Creator God. What an encouragement to us. Man is not the random product of chance, the end of some evolutionary cycle, but he is a distinct, unique, special creation of God. God creates deliberately. God creates with order and structure. And then God gives purpose to his creation. Let us make man in our image, after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the heavens, over the livestock, over all the earth, over every creeping thing that creeps in the ground. God blessed them and said, be fruitful, multiply, fill the earth, subdue it, have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the heavens, over everything that moves along the ground. God gave a purpose to this final creation. To have dominion over everything else. Creation is made that it might serve this final creation. God says, behold, I have given you every plant yielding seed on the face of all the earth, and every tree within it with seed in it, and you shall have them for food. The creation is given to serve the man, that the man might serve God. There is a difference between a plant and an animal and a man. And it seems like a foolish thing to have to say. But when you listen to some people talk, they act as if saving an animal is just as important as saving a person. That the difference between man and animals is not, it's simply qualitative. That we have, or quantitative, we have more of their stuff. But the difference is qualitative. We are different. Created in God's image. Creation is made to serve us. Now that doesn't mean that we run roughshod over the creation God has given. Christians are not anti-environment. Christians care about the world. Of all people, Christians should care about the world. Because they recognize it's a creation of God, not the end of some random process. No, we're not anti-environment, but we are realistic toward the environment. That there is a difference between a plant and an animal and a person. Plants and the animals are given to serve the image bearer of God. And the image bearer of God is given to serve the glory of God. Our confession says that when it seemed good to him, giving unto every creature its being, shape, form, and several offices to serve its creator, that he also still upholds and governs them by his eternal providence and infinite power for the service of mankind, to the end that man may serve his God. Creation serves man, that man may serve God. That we may take this blessing God has given us to be fruitful and to multiply and to fill the earth and to subdue it and to have dominion over all these things. That we might use the gifts and talents God has given to us to work in creation, to work with creation, to unfold all the potentialities in creation. And in that way, to bring glory to God. Creation speaks of God's glory, and our response is to give God even more glory. It is for us to serve this great God. We recognize God is the Creator. To properly understand creation, that has to be where we begin. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. We also recognize, as we look around, that creation is no longer in that pristine condition where it began. But because of sin, creation groans expectantly for the return of Jesus Christ. To properly begin to see creation around us, we not only have to know that God is the Creator God, but that God is also the God who will redeem what He has made. who will work for the glory of His creation, and particularly for the glory of that crown of creation. God will redeem His fallen man, His image bearer, His likeness. And that's why Jesus Christ came. The perfect image of God. The second Adam. The one who came to redeem fallen mankind and to restore them into fellowship with God. When we think about the creation story and the beauty that we see here, it's a glorious picture. And we look around this and we say, it's just not that glorious anymore because of our fallenness, because of our sin. But God doesn't leave us there. God is not only powerful creator God, He is redeemer God, who is working to redeem His creation and the crown of His creation. He is the one who works in you to bring you to recognize your own fallenness, your own sin, your need for this Redeemer, that you might properly be those who seek to bring honor and glory and praise to this great Creator. Oh, creation speaks a glorious story, a story that points us back to the works of God. His powerful, glorious work in creation. His wonderful work in redemption. And all of this for our benefit. We might serve, worship, and praise Him to the glory of His name. May God help us to continue to see His glory in creation around us. Let's join together in prayer. Lord our God, how we praise You for Your Word, which gives us a faithful record of Your works. We praise You, O God, for Your work of creation. If we begin to miss the glory, Lord God, open our eyes once again today to see Your power, to see Your majesty, to see Your structure, to see Your wisdom, and to see Your purpose. That You've created the world around us to serve us, and that we, in turn, must serve You. Lord God, accept the service of our hands. It is weak and it is frail, but when empowered by Your Spirit, we seek to bring honor and glory and praise to You through the creation around us. Hear our prayer for Jesus' sake. Amen.